Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thank you for kicking it off with us here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio, 7:05 on the clock. Got your host, James J. here. I am joined by Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
And Seth Habager.
Good morning, everyone.
We hope you're having a great start to your Wednesday out there, everybody. It just hit me. It's Wednesday. Wow.
It's Wednesday.
Wow. That happened quick.
Did it sneak up on you, James?
Yes, it did. Actually, it kind of did. I got to be honest. I didn't. Even though my first thing I do on the air every day is give the date. Somehow, I was taken off guard by after Tuesday, Wednesday showed up.
Well, apparently, you're not alone. Aaron said the same thing this morning.
Thank you, Aaron.
It's Wednesday already.
It's my guy. I like Aaron. He's a good
there
guy.
There you go.
We got some fun stuff to get to this hour. Just a little bit, we'll get into our National Day of Calendar. We're going to talk about circus peanuts and candy Ooh. Corn, all that coming up.
The Halloween favorites.
We'll see. In the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to get into a fun one. We have the donut. I've been hanging on to this one, you guys. The donut you should order based on your zodiac sign.
Oh, good.
Oh, goody.
This should be good. Yeah.
Yes.
I was hoping for those reactions. That's great.
These are always wrong, but I can't wait.
It's still fun, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. It's so much fun. I came across one, the Nightmare Before Christmas character you're based on your zodiac sign. I haven't even looked at it yet because I know I'm not going to be Jack Skellington. I know
probably
that's not going to happen, even though I know I am the Pumpkin King. I am sure. Of this. I don't need a silly website to tell me, but we will have fun with it. We are going to have some fun with that one. That's a little bit later. In the 8 o'clock hour as well, of course, Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. And a little after that, we're going to be joined by Phil Hartley with our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday. And you guys, Phil's in studio today.
That's right.
Yes.
That's so exciting.
We have done that. We have, it wasn't easy, but we landed Phil. We got him to come in. It's a get. It's a get right now.
He's a busy guy right now. You know, he's got the printing mm-hmm. business.
Yeah,
he's in the show coming up mm-hmm. at Christmas. So I got to talk to him a little bit last night, and he was really excited about being able to come in and do the word here.
It's one thing, especially for an old radio head like Phil, it's one thing to do this calling in. It feels good. You enjoy it. The mics, being in the studio, it's just a different
animal. It's a little different.
It's a different animal.
Experience.
And it'll be great to have Phil in. That's going to be fun. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to that. 9 o'clock hour, some entertainment news, Danny Wright stories, good stories of the day, all that lined up. Melissa, how you doing today?
Oh, pretty good. You know, it's Wednesday.
Yeah. It's a Wednesday. Why not? Why not
no,
be pretty
it was
good?
It was such a long start of the week. I think I slept probably 10 hours last night.
Whoa.
I was in bed by 5:30.
Wow.
Body needed
it. I was exhausted.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a long day.
Catching up. Wow, good job.
Yep. Oh, I had to make it up.
Good on you for doing that.
She was so well rested, she went a little hillbilly when she was like, I'm doing great, James.
It did sound a little. I was going to say something off air to you, Mel. Is Abbotsford the South? I didn't know that.
It's in Appalachia, that's right, yeah.
It's the South of Wisconsin.
There you go. I'm really happy to hear that. The body needs it, and you listen to your body. Smart move. And inspirational to some of us.
Yeah. Take it to heart, James.
Seth, how you doing?
I'm doing just fine.
Good.
It's dark out, though. This is the part of this time of year I dislike.
Yeah.
It's not light in the morning anymore. So
I get spoiled because I've been seeing that since we moved into this building, I've seen the sunrise just darn near every morning.
Yeah.
I'm so spoiled when it comes to that. I have no right to be in a grumpy mood any morning, Monday through Friday, that I'm here. With these kind of days,
mm-hmm.
I'm immediately brought back to when I first moved to this state. And I was a little kid living in Rome. And because I went to school at Humke, and I'm in Rome, I was one of the last people that got picked up, usually.
Right.
Or I'm sorry, one of the first people that got picked up. So it was always dark. It was always dark. And then at this time of year, it was dark when he got on the school bus, and it was dark when he got off it.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit in a month or so, it'll be more closer to that. But it was like that.
Yeah, majority of the school year.
I just remember that being rough. And I was so lucky to have a Nana and Papa like I did that must have known that. Or maybe I just drove them crazy enough to where they did something about it, you know. That kept me very active, kept me busy and stuff. And when it was nice out or sunny out, just getting outside, even in the winter, getting some sun.
Mm-hmm.
When it's, you know, that.
Yeah. As another
this
person.
This time of year. Oh, go ahead, Seth.
I was going to say, as another person who had a very long bus ride growing up, I know exactly what you're talking about, especially in the winter months when you'd go to school in the dark and you'd come home in the dark and it's like, oh, man.
It was rough. Yep. It was rough as a kid.
Well, this time of year, we just have to make our own sunshine. Mm-hmm. So, gentlemen, this is a good time to tell you I have planned a mural for the wall in the studio as well as a plant. So, you know, I'm just going to paint a big sun. A smiley face on it there for you.
Oh, okay.
You know, pulling out my artistic skills. Oh, it's going to look a little clip arty, but that's okay. It's still a sun.
That's very okay. And, yeah. And for the audience that wouldn't know, because this is an audio medium, Melissa's a fantastic artist. Fantastic artist.
Well, this will be my first foray into a giant wall mural. So you guys are my test audience.
I like that. I'm all right with that. I'm very okay.
Me too. I think that's great. It's awesome.
That's a cool idea too.
Yeah.
Another thing that we're going to discuss today, and we're going to actually do this a bit on air. We are going to get into, we're going to decide, we're going to hammer this out and make a final decision about what Halloween costume the three of us are going to wear, or if we're not going to wear one at all.
Oh, okay.
We'll figure that out. I am still leaning towards doing it. I am very okay with doing this. I'm all in on it. But we'll see. We'll talk about this as a team. We'll figure this out as a group. This is not a dictatorship.
We'll all get a vote?
Yes. We do. I get the final say, but wait, no, I'm joking. I'm kidding. I swear I'm kidding.
Well, it's that kind of dictatorship. No. I see what it is. Uh-huh.
It's a fake dictatorship.
We feel like we have a say.
Yes. Yeah, but we don't really.
We have a say.
I shouldn't be laughing at that. It's kind of funny. So I actually wanted to start here today. We're talking about Halloween candy a little bit, as we're less than a week away, of course. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you haven't bought Halloween candy yet, there are two things you should know. One, it might cost more than it has in the past. Mm-hmm. And two, do not be tempted to buy terrible candy that may be on sale. The people at CandyStore.com have released their annual list of the worst Halloween candies, which is voted on by more than 15,000 of their customers. It's a pretty good number. That's a nice sample size right
there. Are any of those children?
See, again, Mel brought this up the other day, and I can't get it out of my head now. Every time I see a survey on candy, like, you're so right about that, Melissa.
Where do they talk to any kids? Yeah.
Yes. Like, they should only talk to kids, really.
Yeah, right.
I mean, adults, I'm not saying we don't have an opinion and don't have one that matters, but let's be honest, candy's for kids.
It's supposed to be anyway.
It's supposed to be.
So let's start at number one on this list, and it's a classic, Circus Peanuts. They're not just a good substitute for bricks if you are building something.
Yep. I was going to say, good for
if you leave them out.
Insulation. Very good for insulation.
Oh, yeah, very good for that, yeah.
Come on. I actually like Circus Peanuts. I can only eat one.
They have overtaken candy corn as the number one worst this year. Even though it's hard to imagine anyone actually, handing out Circus Peanuts, they still sell them, and Mel's still buying some.
But, I know a few people.
I haven't bought any in years.
No, you don't need to
buy
them.
They are my Uncle Terry's favorite candy, or one of his favorite candies. I always think of Uncle Terry when I see them.
That's cool.
But yeah, I eat one and in very small bites over a long period of time.
I think Beth likes them, if I remember correctly. My sister likes them, so there's a few people out there that still like Circus Peanuts.
They still sell them.
Yeah, they do.
I love candies or foods that remind us of people. Vanilla wafers will always remind me of my papa. You would think they were the most chocolate cookie of all time, the way he would devour those things.
That's awesome.
As a little kid, I just loved them. And now, as an adult, still like them.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Candy corn, last year's number one, is now this year's number two. So maybe candy corn's getting a comeback here.
I like candy corn. I like it a lot. I really. But again, like Mel, I can't eat a lot of it at a time because it's so sweet. So, that's too much.
Real question, Seth.
Yeah.
Do you like the original or do you like some of the other flavors that they've come up with?
Because like anything.
The caramel apple one isn't terrible.
That's good. I like any of them. I'll eat the pumpkins. I'll eat any of those things, man. Right, I love them.
Yeah. Does it have to do with the texture for you?
I like the texture. That's part of it. Yeah. But I do. I like. There's something about the sweetness is a little different than other candies that I, for whatever reason, I really dig. So I don't know what it is.
Huh. Melissa, I got to say, I did not. Oh my gosh, I didn't realize there were so many different candy corns.
Yeah.
I am really out of the loop on this one. I mean,
James,
I already.
I'm surprised by this. You with your love affair of candy?
Yeah. I mean, I'm used to not being hip, but I mean, the idea of not knowing being up to date.
When it comes to candy,
there's a Nerds Halloween candy. There's a Cornucopia candy. Mm-hmm. There is a Blackberry Cobbler flavor.
Oh, I haven't tried that one.
Ooh, I haven't tried that one either.
Caramel candy corn. I'm seeing here that you mentioned, Mel.
Yeah, that's good.
And a caramel apple candy corn.
Yep.
That's pretty good.
That looks really, it looks like pink and brown and looks really good, actually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, I got to say, I like, picking on candy corn, but I actually don't hate it. Circus peanuts, I think that a lot of poor kids can relate to circus peanuts. I eat plenty of those growing up.
Because they were cheap, right?
Yeah. But there's a pumpkin pie candy corn, you guys. There's a harvest corn. Oh, man.
Yeah.
This is, okay, I'm done for the day. This is all I'm focusing on the rest of the day.
Autumn mix is my favorite. You get the little pumpkins, and then you get the chocolate and the regular candy corn all together. So the autumn mix is my favorite.
And this is why candy corn has now moved to two, because it has diversified.
It has.
It's not as hated. Yeah.
You can't do much with circus peanuts.
Poor circus peanuts. I wonder.
Because what flavor is circus peanuts?
I have no idea.
They're orange.
Foam?
Color. But foam. Stop it. Come on. They're better than packing peanuts. They have more flavor.
Well, that's what they are. They are packing peanuts. They just colored them orange. Yeah.
But their flavor isn't orange.
That's true. They're not.
No.
What flavor would you describe them as?
Oh, my gosh. Styrofoam?
Styrofoam. No, they have a flavor.
They do. I'm not sure what it is, though.
Boy,
could they diversify?
Long. Yeah.
Could they come up with another flavor, a color for circus peanuts and start, bringing them back?
It's possible.
In this day and age, why not? Why not try?
Give it a shot.
You're already making them. They're still producing them and everything. Might as well try. Here's s'mores flavored peanuts. Candy corn. Candy corn. That's what they got to do. Candy corn flavored circus peanuts, and candy corn flavored like circus peanuts. Like vice versa. Like both of them. That's what I want to see. There you go, Nestle. Do that.
Two bad things that are worse together, right?
Let's see you do that. Peanut Butter Kisses came in at number three, also number three last year. Despite the name, they're neither Reese's Peanut Butter Cups nor Hershey's Kisses level Halloween candy. Just Peanut Butter Kisses. And I'm a big fan of the Kisses. I mm-hmm. like almost all of them. But that's one I know. No.
that sounds a little weird.
Yeah, it does.
Oh, guys, I just Googled it. What flavor is circus peanuts? Yeah. Banana.
What?
Oh, a little bit. Yeah, a little bit. I can get that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's been so long that I've had one. But as soon as you said that, I could get that.
Banana-flavored, peanut-shaped marshmallow treat.
See, it doesn't make any sense. That's why it doesn't work. Mm. It's completely bizarre.
Yeah. Maybe they should be peanut-flavored.
Yeah, you would think.
At least some kind of, yeah.
Except they tout themselves as free of major allergens.
That's good.
If you're allergic to peanuts, do you eat circus peanuts as rebellion? Do you just sit there like a bowl of them and just like, yeah,
I man.
Am one bad mother.
Shut your mouth.
Talking about Necco wafers came in at number four. That was really good, by the way. Necco wafers up one spot from number five last year. That would be number one if there was a list of the chalkiest candies, they say. Necco wafers. I actually don't mind that chalkier flavored candies sometimes.
Oh, you're a big Pez fan.
Yes, yeah. I mean, I don't know why, but yeah, there's some of those that I actually don't mind.
But haven't Necco wafers been around? Are those the candy that were around in like World War One?
Yes.
Oh, they've been around for a long time.
What is the history of that too? Because
are also made by Spangler Candy, which who makes the circus peanuts?
Yeah, I seem to remember there being interesting history to those Necco wafers too.
They 1847.
Thank you, Melissa. They got I thought so. That's interesting. You called that one right away.
That's Civil War era stuff, man. Wow.
Yeah.
Wax Coke bottles up one spot from number six last year. Yes, they still exist.
I haven't seen those in ages.
Couldn't even remember the last time I seen those.
Yeah.
That may be the most disappointing candy of all time to me. In the sense that when you saw them as a kid, they look so cool, they look so good, they're going to be awesome. And then you turn like just like plastic.
Yeah.
The juice, there's like what? How much juice in there?
Yeah.
Like a drop.
Yeah.
And then you have just this wax you can chew on, I guess.
I will
say. We used to chew on it.
So same here. We don't have a lot of things between our generation here and everything, guys. But the older audience listening right now is furious with us. Like, you see how many candies you guys got? We had Necco wafers, and that's it. Like, nothing. You guys are complaining so
much. I know. We are. And wax lips, and that was it. Yeah.
Oh, wax. I would have put wax lips on this list. Yeah. That's a disappointing candy. I have no doubt that was candle wax. Like, I don't know what they were feeding us as kids, but there was no way that was quote-unquote candy.
No,
that
it was
candle wax. That was all that was. Smarties on this list as well.
Really?
Yeah, another chalky candy.
Yes. No, Smarties I like. I like a little bit of Smarties now and then. Yeah.
This is where the list gets really wrong, too. Because I see Mary Jane's, and then at number 8, Tootsie Rolls.
What?
Come on.
What?
That's just wrong.
Tootsie Rolls are the best.
Are good.
They're awesome.
Yeah.
I'd put Tootsie Rolls in my top 10 candies. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
They're just thinking of the old ones.
I have to look up Mary Jane's, though. I don't know what those are.
They're a chewy peanut butter and molasses taffy type candy. Oh, yeah.
I'd probably like those.
Hmm. I'd try that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Black licorice coming in at number 9.
Well, my love of black licorice is well known by now. Yes, so I think, again, you're like right. It's getting all wrong here now.
You get all the black licorice up. And number 10 on the list, Good and Plenty's.
Which is basically licorice.
It kind of is.
Yeah,
it kind
of really taste, is. Anise flavor. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of those because I don't like the coating. If I'm going to have black licorice, I just want straight black licorice.
Straight up? Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Uncut.
Neat.
Oh, that was great. No, I can't talk. The 10 best candies are mostly the usual suspects.
Yep.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, M&M's, Snickers, Skittles, Sour Patch Kids as the top 5, followed by Hershey Bars, Kit Kats, Twix, and Butterfinger. There is one new addition to the top 10, Hot Tamales. Which had been around forever, but are apparently really trendy right now.
Really?
They've, like, taken this huge, like, upswing. I don't know why.
The old Mike and Ike and Hot Tamales and stuff like that? Nice.
I loved Mike and Ike's.
Yes.
Loved
those. Those were good.
Yeah, Mike and Ike's are good.
Yep.
Oh, man, those were good. That's a great one. That's a great callback. We'll take a break right here. We'll get into our National Day of Calendar. Melissa's news coming up in a little bit. We'll also get into a fun one about grocery stores and avocados. And we've got the most annoying things about public transportation. All these things coming up for you. All that and more on Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you at 7:24 on the clock, and it is time to dive into our National Day of Calendar for this October 26th, 2022. And man, I'm lucking this day so far. The first couple things I'm seeing. National Pumpkin Day.
All right, we made it.
Hey, hey.
I'm a big fan of pumpkin. I think I've gone. I've spent every day in October mentioning that.
It's been close. It's been close.
Pumpkins are great.
They are. Pumpkins are great.
There is.
I'm excited to cook one today.
All right.
Is that what you're doing today?
Yeah, I'm gonna tackle it.
All right.
That's cool.
Well, tackle it too hard. You might squish it.
I don't think so.
How are you? What are you doing exactly with it, Mel?
Well, okay. So this is the plan. I talked over with Aaron the other night. I'm going to get an axe. No, I'm kidding.
Pumpkin massacre.
No. I plan to cut it, like, in half. Maybe not completely in half, but I'm going to cut it into parts, we'll say. And then I'm not going to bake it all at once because it's big. Mm. And I don't think I can use it all at once. So I want to spread it out over a few days of cooking. So I'm going to just I'll cover it with, you know, I'll put it on a plate or plastic and put it in the fridge, what I don't bake. And then I'll just bake it like a squash in the oven, the part that I'm going to use. Or I'll peel it and cube it and use it in a recipe. I haven't decided yet. Depends on what I'm going to make. It is either going to be pumpkin curry or pumpkin gnocchi. But I have to go see if they have gnocchi at the grocery store here.
Curry. That's my vote. I love curry of any kind.
Me too.
You got to let me know how that turns out.
Yeah.
Oh, I will.
That's really cool. That sounds awesome.
Yep. But the rest of the pumpkin I'll be using to make the other thing and maybe some more stuff and possibly some pie. Who knows?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
If you roast the seeds, bring them in next week.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because nothing better than roast pumpkin seeds.
That's true.
You're right about that. Yeah, those are really good.
The hardest part is cleaning them.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if I seem to remember this loosely, but I'm not 100%. The origins of pumpkins. Where did pumpkins originate from? Everybody knows that pumpkins were walking down an alley with their parents when they were... Scientists believe that pumpkins originated in North America about 9,000 years ago. The oldest pumpkin seeds have been found in Mexico and date back to somewhere between 7,000 and 550,000 BC.
Wow.
Pumpkins, along with other forms of squash, were a historically important food staple among Native Americans.
That's correct. Wow, that is cool.
Man, is that cool.
That is really neat.
I don't think I knew that. I feel like I may have, but I don't know.
I was going to say, can you imagine the first European seeing a pumpkin and being like, what the heck? What is this thing?
What is that? Come on, they were scared to eat potatoes. Can you imagine their reaction to a pumpkin?
I know.
Potatoes look weird.
Yeah, okay? They do.
And I can say that because I look weird. So it's fair for me to say that.
But gotcha.
But pumpkin doesn't seem as weird to me. But I
as
hear
a potato?
You.
Okay.
I do love the idea of them just rolling up and seeing the a field of these
giant orange.
Yeah,
pumpkin.
Yeah. It is howl at the moon day.
Ooh,
howl at the moon day.
That's a good one. Good howl there.
Actually, that was my second take. I was going to do it. And you started talking. I didn't want to interrupt you, Seth. So I was like in mid-howl, and I did not know that could hurt your throat.
Choke it off. Sorry.
Yeah, it was fun. It was like taking a drink, you know, or whatever. When it goes down the wrong pipe, it felt like.
James will now be played by the playing the role of Wolfman Jack for the rest of the show here.
Everybody, we've got a great show for you tonight. Love me some Wolfman Jack. Wolfman Jack, baby.
The wolf has been a powerful symbol throughout all of mythology, whether we reference Fenrir's wolf, who was set to devour the world during Ragnarok, or the Romulus or Remus, who were raised by wolves to create the foundation of the Roman Empire, the most powerful empire of all time. They have been the subject of a powerfully moving art. The once popular and new embracing three wolf moon shirt and more song themes and so much more. It's a day to, you know, howl at the moon.
Howl at the moon, everybody.
Howl at the moon day. And may not be, if I can be Jimmy serious for a second here, may not be a bad idea to learn a little bit more about how important wolves are to our ecosystem and our food chain.
Yes.
I'm not saying they don't do damage at times and everything. And as far as hunting them and all that, that is here or there. I'm not going to get into that subject.
Mm-hmm.
But wolves are incredibly important to our ecosystem, to our food chain. They serve a gigantic purpose, and they many purposes, not just one, but many of them.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible animal.
The moon might be a little hard to see tonight since it's only 1%, but can still find it.
We'll find it somewhere.
It's waxing crescent.
Yeah, I was going to say it's a waxing crescent moon today, so it isn't going to be like you would think they'd choose more closer to a literal full moon day, but it
darn
seems
moon.
Like one they just picked. They didn't put too much into this.
Not cooperating.
National Mule Day. The
like
mule.
Hee-haw?
Yeah.
Like mule, yeah.
Like mule, mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Yeah. One of the more curious days in the calendar is annual National Mule Day. Mules may not be quite as common anymore as what they once were, but that doesn't mean that we don't appreciate them any less. What, are we not making mules anymore? What happened?
They're being put out of production,
I guess.
I don't know.
Did they stop making mules?
They closed down that factory.
Mule Day is exactly what you think of it. I think it is. It is a day dedicated to mules. The day originated in Columbia, Tennessee, which likes to think of itself as self-proclaimed mule capital in the world.
Oh, wow. Okay.
In the whole world.
The whole world.
Ever since the day originated back in 1840, the celebrations have spread, and now mules are celebrated in many global locations.
Well, mules, you got your own day.
Okay. Huh.
they don't care.
Used to be known as Breeders' Day, but they changed it to Mule Day.
Okay.
And it is a little. I don't treat it like it's our life breaking information, but it is kind of interesting to hear how mules came to be.
Yes,
yeah,
that is very cool.
Offspring of a male donkey and a female horse,
mm-hmm. and they cannot reproduce themselves.
Yeah, which is rough. You would think.
Yeah,
it seems like a really like imagine being told that as a young donkey or a young mule. Like,
yeah,
that
exactly.
seems rough. That's all right. National Mincemeat Day.
Wow. Boy.
Have either of you eaten mincemeat?
Yes, I have.
When I was
Do
young.
Do you like it?
I was fine. I was fine with it. I didn't think it was that bad, if I remember correctly. It's been a while, but yeah.
Melissa, have you met me? Have you? It's a fair question.
No, James, I haven't.
It's a fair question. I honestly don't remember what it tasted like or if I liked it or not. I was really young.
Yes. I know a few people who, mostly from England, that mincemeat is a big holiday thing, a big making mincemeat pie is a big holiday thing.
Yeah, how about you?
I have not, and I'm curious because the concept of diced fruit, meat, and distilled spirits in the same pie sounds a little odd. I've always, when I was younger, when you think of things that are sweet and things that are savory and that they should not cross... You're very, very, you know, there's a line there. Mm-hmm. As I get older, you know, that line blurs. Like, I like savory oatmeal now. There are other things I like that would normally be sweet that not necessarily so. So I'll try mincemeat.
Yeah.
If you make it good. It's like fruitcake.
Right. Oh,
if you have to make it well to make it taste good,
So, I think homemade would probably be best.
Yeah.
Been around since the 15th century.
Wow.
That's really cool. That's something. Let's see. You know, and you go back to modernized pot pies, but, you know, then a mincemeat pie. We've been doing this for a long time.
Yes.
You know, seeing how much we can cram into a pie crust.
You better believe it, brother.
This one is like the combination of both, though.
It is.
Yeah, it is. That's a good point.
Because pot pies are amazing. But there's no sweet in a pot pie.
No.
You don't put fruit in that.
Okay, so both of you like pot pies.
I do, yes.
I'm still the only one. I'm the only person in the, at least in America, maybe the world, that is not a fan of pot pies. I don't know what's wrong with me. I really don't.
Do you like pie crust?
I love pie crust. I could eat just pie crust. Yes, I love crust in general.
Any kind of crust,
any kind of crust. I'm a huge crust guy.
Thank you for confirming with us that you are weird.
Yes.
What, we needed confirmation on that?
Well, every once in a while, it's just good to be reminded.
A little bit of evidence, just a little more. It helps your court case. It's gonna help both of you.
Building our
kangaroo court. James should be program director anymore. Microneedling. National Microneedling Day. Microneedling is a popular and slightly crazy cosmetic treatment that involves puncturing your face with thousands of tiny needles on a roller. I honestly have heard very little of this.
Yeah.
It sounds kind of counterproductive, but it achieves almost miraculous results. In fact, the results are so good, the cosmetic intervention warrants its entire day dedicated to it.
Send the microneedling council.
Yeah, exactly. We'd all love to have glowing skin. Unfortunately, that's not always how it works. Lifestyle factors, pollution, lack of sunlight, too much sunlight, acne, and pigmentation issues can leave our skin looking a little worse for wear. Nobody wants to look in the mirror and see a face staring back at them that looks like an old boot.
Well, what is being insulted by this article here? What's going on?
It's not a lot of times an article. Like I want to get into a fight with an article here, but I'm starting to get close to it.
What are you doing, man?
There's good news though. Microneedling is leading the fight back. People who get it benefit from smaller pores, fewer acne scars, and less annoying pigment that causes blotchiness and unevenness in tones. Okay, I don't know what it costs. I don't know the health factors of this, so I'm not, you know.
Wow.
Well, I can actually speak a little bit about this. On the face, but similar to microneedling, or the concept of microneedling is something you can also have done called dry needling.
Yes, I've heard of that.
And that is where they use it to reduce muscle tension and improve pain in areas of your body. Because the needle, they put it into a trigger point.
Yes.
And then kind of wiggle it around a little bit to help loosen that muscle up. So I wonder if the microneedling on the face is kind of on the similar concept of that.
It sounds like modernized acupuncture.
Yeah, a little bit. It really does.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The difference, I think, Melissa, is that dry needling is usually performed by a physician.
Yes.
It's someone you're under medical care. I believe Beth had it done on a muscle that she had that she's dealing with some problems with. And it worked pretty good. But again, it was under the supervision. This does not look like it's under the supervision of medical personnel. No. So it's like, I think I'll step back just a little bit. And that's like purely cosmetic, too. yeah. what they're talking about. Yeah. The other stuff is more
and
medical.
Acupuncture is very specific where they put them, too. I should be
correct
about
that. And I'm very curious
about
that. I had an appointment, but I don't remember the reasons I had to cancel it, so I've never remade an appointment to go have that done, but sure. I'd like to try it.
I'm gonna get it done because I want my mom and dad to give it a shot, and they are, you know, pretty much on the they're a little on the fence, but they're leaning towards doing it, and I think having me get it done, they'll do it.
Right.
See what happens. See what it's like. Yeah.
Man, is it? Do you ever like? Do you ever just sit back and realize how much things reverse as the child of parents and how it ends up coming around where you end up parenting your parents a little bit? Not that I am. Ways. My parents take complete control, you know, completely control their lives.
Yes.
But it, little by little, you know, you do these things where it flips around on you and everything.
The child is father to the man, yes.
And one more for you, National Chicken Fried Steak Day.
Yum.
Ooh.
I love chicken fried steak. I haven't had it in ages, but I love it.
Some
what
good
a
stuff.
Weird names though, like chicken fried steak. There's no chicken in it.
Nope.
And you would. It seems like somebody mixed up the labels. Like they were all on a table, and somebody put them in the wrong spot or something like that. Yeah, you're right.
You got my chicken batter on my steak. You got my steak and my chicken batter.
Hey, wait a minute.
Whoa, two things in
there. We will take a break. We'll get to Melissa's news. We'll come back, have a bunch more fun. It's mornings on WFHR. Classic.
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight. For my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise, he did the
mash. Welcome back, everybody. Just mashing around over here. Mornings on WFHR. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. It's the voice. It's the way he sings it that gets me every time. I picture Peter Boyle's Frankenstein singing that song every time. Since I was a little kid, I've pictured the Frankenstein from Young Frankenstein singing that.
You got pretty far on a Boris Karloff impression. I got to give him credit
really
for that.
Did. Yeah, yeah, really did. We're going to get into an interesting one here. I don't know if it's fun, but it is interesting. And I'm kind of curious what you guys think of this. Avocados are huge. Mm-hmm. They have been for quite some time. I think we can get over the idea of it's being a trend. They're here to stay. When I was living in California, I literally got into Santa Barbara, and I walk in, and everybody's wearing avocados on their heads. They've got, avocado shirts, all these things. There's people handing out avocado smoothies. I drink one of these right away, and it was good, and I liked it. And I have not had a lot of experience with avocados, but in California, it is literally illegal to take an avocado off of somebody's tree in their yard.
Wow.
You can get in big trouble for this, like if you get caught, of course.
Yeah, right.
an interesting one to me, and I was a little surprised when I came back to the Midwest here and realized, oh, they're just as big here. Maybe I just didn't know, or maybe they rose in the last couple of years or 20 years, whatever it's been.
Yeah.
Did you know that you can tell how ripe an avocado is by squeezing it? Mm-hmm. But obviously, that's pretty that is hit or miss sometimes. Mm-hmm. So bring on the robots, everybody.
Oh no.
A new gadget is on the way that can tell you exactly how ripe avocados are. It's called the Ripe Finder. You got to say it like that. Ripe Finder.
Try to make it sound a little sexy because it's not.
Yeah. I find perfect avocados. It's my superpower. It doesn't have a lot of uses.
Avocado Man.
It's called Ripe Finder, and it debuted at a trade show in Orlando this week.
Oh, boy.
First, you use your brain to find an avocado that might be ripe. Then you put it on the scanner that uses AI to tell you whether it really is or not.
Like the beginning of that. First, you use your brain.
Yes. I actually worded it a little bit better than these people did.
Oh, okay.
Nice. Well done.
If it's not ripe yet, it tells you when it will be. Like, your avocado will be ready in 4 to 5 days.
Oh, I
really wanted to do that in an English voice. Your avocado will be ready in 4 to 5 days.
It's more believable.
I don't know why. Yeah, it just seems like it should be. So that might be helpful for anyone who likes to plan out their avocado eating several days in advance. My goodness. Jokes aside, the point is to cut down on food waste. So you could buy 3 or 4 avocados at once, knowing that you won't get they won't get ripe all at the same time.
Mm.
And depending on the level of ripeness, it also says things like your avocado is ready for a salad, or it's overly ripe, might be better for guacamole. Because I went a little Australian towards the end there.
Yeah, that's okay. That's okay. I think we need to get James to do the voice of the robot. That's what we need.
If this week's demo is a hit, you could start seeing your ripe finders at grocery stores soon. And maybe they'll come up with more scanners, too, and even a better name.
Yeah, please.
But bananas and cantaloupes I would have thought of for this before avocados.
Yeah, yeah.
But again, I don't eat many avocados. It's not in my diet, really.
Right.
I don't know. Melissa, you seem to eat more avocados than I do. I don't know about Seth, but maybe. Would this be something that you go to a grocery store and you would use at a grocery store?
I mean, if it was there, I might, but you can usually tell how ripe an avocado is, sometimes by color, depending on the kind of avocado, but usually always by pressing on it.
Oh, okay.
So, interesting.
The squeeze method. And
the squeeze method, gently, obviously. You don't want to bruise it, but then also what the skin looks like. Because as an avocado ages and gets overripe, the skin starts to look kind of desiccated, and then it's beyond ripeness.
Gotcha.
Interesting.
Yeah. I don't like avocados, so I don't buy them.
Nah.
That's simple.
Yeah, that's
there
enough.
You go. That works.
How's that an answer for you, huh?
Definitely simplifies.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
We will take a quick commercial break. We'll come back and have some more fun on Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. We hope you're having a great Wednesday out there, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. Got an interesting article here about the most annoying things about public transportation. If you're stuck in traffic, this will make you feel lucky you're not you're driving to work today. 1,000 people who were who used public transportation were asked to name the most annoying things that they encounter on trains, buses, and subways. Here are the list. We'll start at number 10. People who try to get on while you're still trying to exit. Yes.
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 Yeah.
Come on, everyone. Let everyone off first, and then you can get on.
I can only speak to public transportation in Chicago and what I grew up with and everything. Easily one of the most annoying things that everybody experiences on the L train is this. Even though it's all set into motion, you know, it's already, it's this gentleman's agreement kind of thing of where we enter, where we exit, all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the subway in New York is basically the same. I think any subway system is probably like that, yeah.
Man spreading or taking up too much space. Yeah. Yeah.
That is a terrible term.
It really is. It really is. Yeah.
Come on.
Well, we just got to stop doing it then. They'll stop using the phrase.
Women sit like that too. Okay.
True. It is a little, I will admit, it's a little funnier to me when I see a woman do it, just because sometimes it's the last thing I expect. So, noisy kids.
Well,
it's public transportation.
Come on now, that's a little bit much.
Yeah, kids are gonna be noisy. Kids are kids.
Come on, man.
Whether
you're
on a plane or you're in a train, whatever it is, you gotta just
now,
take
at
that.
A certain age. They should learn how to be polite in society.
Oh, yeah. That definitely has a cutoff. Yeah, it definitely
it only works
has a cutoff.
Yeah. As long as they're still cute, then you can...
that is kind of the rule, isn't it?
Yeah,
that kind of... no air conditioning or bad ventilation in the summer. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a bad one.
I don't do it.
Yeah.
Pushing and shoving, yes.
Yeah.
Long delays or your bus that gets there late. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Yes.
No one likes that. No one likes
that's a rough one. I've experienced a lot of that growing up.
Well, you miss your connection then. How can you get to where you got to go?
I can think of two of the biggest auditions in my life, and I was late for both of them because of public transportation.
Oh, no.
I ended up doing okay. They ended up going well. But, yeah, you're already nervous running to those, and then you're flipping it. And I was so – actually, my audition for Steppenwolf Theater – I was late because I actually, the first time and only time in my life, I just completely drew a blank on what, for those that don't know in Chicago, you got the blue line, brown line, like all the L trains, they have a different line color. Mm-hmm. I could not think of what line I was supposed to get on. I had like a good a minute, 30 seconds somewhere there where I just was, couldn't put it in place. And then I see the bus going. I'm like, oh, it's that one. It's like, oh, there you go, booking after it.
There it goes.
It's like in a movie. You're running right
it was
after
bad.
It,
it was bad. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Trash on the ground or on the seats. Spilled liquid is bad too, especially if you don't know what it is. And you never do.
You never know what it is. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a rough one. When someone won't give up their seat for another person who needs it.
That's rude.
Yes.
Very rude.
Yes.
Don't. You can see very clearly who needs to sit down. Yes. I mean, come on, people.
It's not a ton of things that I have unabashable, unquestionable belief in. I really do believe in karma. I really do believe you get what you put into this universe, and things come back at you. If it's good stuff, it comes back to actually good. It comes, you know, and vice versa. I have seen it so many times, and so many times it's been in public transportation situations. A gentleman, when my dad and I are on the L, and he's going to work, and he's taking me there, and I'm all excited about it, so that's all I'm thinking about. And there was a guy who, I didn't see the whole situation, but he would not get up for a pregnant woman.
Oh, gosh.
I will be fair, she was not like 9 months along, but she was obviously pregnant. Mm-hmm. And she did not make a fuss about this or anything, but you could see the passengers sitting next to him on the bus were very upset by this. Then, you know, we have a stop, some people get on, and we're going, and all of a sudden I look over, because I hear him try to, oh, come on, or something like that. Some kid spilled his whole milkshake on him, who had just gotten on, where he was sitting. It would have fallen on that lady, but she didn't get a drop of it on her. But this guy's nice suit, it was in his suitcase, it was in everything. It was like the kid, like, just poured it on him or something. I didn't see how it went on him, but, I mean, I've seen example after example. Karma. You get what you put into this universe.
Instant karma is going to get you.
It does. It will. Aggressive people in general, especially if you feel unsafe. Yeah.
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 And people who talk too loud on their phone. Oh, specifically people who have the Bluetooth in.
Yeah.
That's anywhere.
Let's think about this for a second because, you know, again, I don't expect this to be common knowledge, but there are many people that used to take the L train in Chicago that aren't anymore, that are switching their public transportation because of safety issues or their fear of that.
Right.
And among other things like trash on the ground or these delays that they're talking about, these kind of things. On the other side of that, the people that work those trains are way overworked and underpaid.
Exactly.
There's no bad guy in this situation. Yep. There's just a lot of things that got to get worked out.
Not enough staff, yeah.
But think about this. Aggressive people, trash on the ground, delays, all that. None of that matters compared to people talking loudly on their phone. Like, they overwhelmingly annoyed people to the point where I'm not even as worried about my safety. Just get this guy off that feels so self-important that he's got to let everybody hear his conversation. I don't believe half the time they're even talking to somebody. Yeah. It's just a thing. They just want to seem important.
Oh, they're pulling a Ron Johnson. Oh, so they're, sorry. But I don't get it, though. Okay, how long have we had cell phones for now?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I can understand when the novelty was there, when not many people had cell phones. Look, I'm on a cell phone. Oh, look at this. You know, this is cool.
Yeah. Look how important I am.
But now? Everyone has cell phones. It's very annoying.
Your phone booth is not everywhere.
Yeah.
If you're doing this, there's no, I cannot wrap my brain around you're doing it for a rational reason other than ego. It's the only thing I can think of is ego, whether it's an ego you're aware of or not.
Exactly.
It's something. Now, there's cases where this kind of thing happens.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, important or
emergency,
all that kind of thing. But we're not talking about that, obviously.
No, they're just having a conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's never like an interesting conversation. It's never, because be real here, everybody. Everybody, people watches a little bit, and everybody eavesdrops a little bit in public transportation. I'm not talking about like you going up to your neighbor's house with a glass, but just like in public.
Oh, you shouldn't do that.
We'll talk. This is a different level to me of annoyance where you're not as like in the list of things. If you're ranked choice voting this, you're putting like your own safety behind the guy who is annoying on the phone. And I will say a guy, because I'm sorry, I've never heard of a woman doing this. I've never seen a woman doing this. Like I'm sure
really?
It happens.
Me too.
I'm positive it happens statistically, but
of course.
I most of the time it's a guy and he talks very loudly. That's the seem important. I'm important.
The McGonagall papers. What happened to the McGonagall papers?
Discuss.
So, guys, before we close out this segment, I do have to tell you, I got called by the Spangler's Circus Peanut Company.
Oh,
because they want to dispel a rumor. Hmm. There are other flavors.
Wow.
I know. This is blowing your world.
Yes.
There's vanilla, the one we all know and love, the orange banana, cherry, and lemon.
Oh, why?
But here's the catch. you cannot buy them in any other size than a 20-pound bulk box for $84.04.
I did not see that coming.
Boxes, they're only $79.83. You save 5%.
Jeez. That's hilarious. A little bit later in our entertainment section, we're going to get into how much E.T.'s phone call would have cost. I had that number wrong, and I had the number wrong for this one, Mel. That was interesting. Nice find. That's a good one. More fun, interesting information coming up for you from CBS News and us when we come back at this and mornings on WFHR.